And we were talking about the candlesticks that Jesus had in his hand over in the book of Revelation. And that is the church. And I was saying that, you know, when I drive by here and look up on this hill and see this beautiful building, as people drive back and forth, I think about a candlestick on a hill giving the gospel of Christ. So you're doing a great work here. Do the best you can and just do what you know to do, and that's lift Jesus up. That's all I know to do. The only way that I ever overcame any sin in my life was through Christ. The only way I ever became saved was through Jesus Christ. And so my trust and faith is in Him. And I say that the trust and faith of this church is in Jesus and nothing else. And I believe that. Your pastor preaches that over and over, and I believe you believe that. Now, I want to look over. We talked about boats. I work on a dam, and I like water, and I like storms, and I like boats, and all those sorts of things. And we talked about the ark last week, one of my favorite subjects. And then I want to talk about another boat today. And the title of what I've got for you is Seven Reasons Why They, the Disciples, and aren't you a disciple? Yes, if you've asked Christ to be your personal Savior and you're trusting in Him and you're looking to Him, you came here, heard the Word, got saved, were baptized, a baptized believer, and you're looking to Christ. And I want you to think about this morning that you are about to get in a boat with Jesus, okay? That's what Jesus said, the scripture I'm going to give you, He asked them to get in the boat with Him, and I'll read it here in just a minute. If you want to go ahead and look over there, it's Luke chapter 8, and I'm going to start with verse 22. But I want to give you just a little bit of introduction to the book of Luke. I found it very interesting. Now, this book was and is for you. I don't think any of you have the Jewish bloodline or history. If you do, we love that people. We love and honor that. Jesus Christ was a Jew, okay? And we love Him. We love His people. We love Israel. America loves Israel. And why do we love Israel? Because Israel gave us Jesus. And we believe in them and we trust in their heritage. But they gave us Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, the book of Luke, though, is your book. That's what it's for. It's talking to the Gentiles. Now, I don't know if you know it, but you're a Gentile. In other words, you're not a Jew, so you're a Gentile. You're of the nature of all of creation. You're a Gentile, and you're not a Jew. And we love the Jews, but we love the Gentiles. Jesus loved the Gentiles, and the book of Luke is about that. And that's what it's about. It says here, Luke, the beloved physician, reputed as the author of Acts, and Luke, being addressed to the same person. Now here's that person. To whom was it addressed? To Theophilus, an unknown person. Internal evidence indicates that the book was written especially for the Gentiles, for me and you. This is inferred from the fact that the writer takes pains to explain Jewish customs and sometimes substitutes Greek names for Hebrew names. The purpose of Luke, the book of Luke, to give a connected and orderly narrative of the life of Christ as seen by eyewitnesses. It is a gospel of the Son of Man. It emphasizes Christ sympathetic attitude towards the poor, the lowly, and the outcast. Now, I've been every one of those before. I've been poor. I talk to my grandkids. I tease them all the time. I walked everywhere I went to school. I walked in the snow, didn't I, Kimberly? I walked in the snow to get to school every day. And 2 miles uphill, I tell her. Which was the truth. I did walk to school every day. But we were poor. Back when I was a boy, mother would cook a pot of pinto beans and cornbread, and that's what we ate all week long. That's the truth. I didn't have a hamburger. I don't remember it until I was a junior in high school or a senior in high school. I had a hamburger. That's when I got my first hamburger. So you're talking to a guy who's been poor before. And to the lowly, we moved in a town over there called Heber Springs. Y'all think it's a wonderful place to go. Well, back when I was there, it was poor. I mean, Daddy got me a bicycle, and he swapped laundry and cleaning for that bicycle. That's how he got it. He didn't have the money, but he did the guy's laundry and cleaning and bought me a bicycle. First new bicycle I ever had was in my eighth year in school, eighth grade. So we were sort of lowly there. The outcast, the poor disciples, the sinful woman, Mary Magdalene, the Samaritans, the publicans and sinners, the deserted beggar, the leper, the dying thief, the thief on the cross. Remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. And Jesus said today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. So I don't mean that you're poor and lowly. I don't mean that you are all these things, but one time or another we've been that way, haven't we? Either physically, spiritually, financially, one time or another. So this book is for us. And it's a book filled with prayer that is emphasized in the book of Luke. It contains Christ's prayer at his baptism in the wilderness, before choosing the disciples, at the transfiguration, before giving the Lord's Supper. For Peter, the one who denied him 3 times, he said, I pray for you. In the Garden of Gethsemane and on the cross, a book of prayer. And you ladies ought to like this. It greatly honors womanhood. Women appear prominently in Luke's narrative. The chapter 1 where Mary, Elizabeth, Mary and her sister Martha. In chapter 10, the daughters of Jerusalem, several widows are mentioned. All through this book, it honors womanhood. So this is a very special book to us where we understand the life of Christ, we learn about him and his attitude about things and about us. And so we find a scripture here. Now, I'm going to preach this a little different than probably what you've heard it before. But this is what came to me and what did me good. You know, a lot of times, most all times, when I preach, I'm preaching to me. Now, if you get something out of it, I hope you do. But I get something out of it when I prepare it. I'm preaching to old Joe. And so that's what I'm doing this morning. And the title of the sermon, let me give it to you again, 7 Reasons the Disciples Got in the Boat with Jesus. 7 Reasons we are in the boat with Jesus Christ. Are you in his boat today? Are you floating with Jesus? Let's talk about that just a little bit. This is chapter 8, verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into the ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let's go over on the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And I say that to you today, to me. Where is your faith? What boat are you floating in? I say that to the world around us. Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wonder, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Let's pray. Lord, again, thank you for this good number here today. I just pray, Lord, that I could speak your word, not my word, but what you laid on my heart and what you did with me as I prepared for this group of people today. Thank you for Brother Allen and Pam and Beth, and we just pray that they will get over their trip, all the hard labor of going over there, and that they'll come back refreshed. Thank you for this church sitting on a hill here. I've admired it all my life. I've looked up on this hill. As long as I've known this church, I've admired it and thought, what a wonderful place to put a church on a hill here in this little town. And I just pray you'd bless them. Lord, if there's nothing else that they can feel today, I don't want them to like me any better or any less. But I do want them to like Jesus more, God. I want them to know that He's here with them and that He wants this church here on this hill, and that they'll go on forward and just do the best they know how to do, loving this neighborhood and those that they've met through this church, loving them just like Jesus loves us, and that you'll use them in a mighty way. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, one night, I was driving down the top of the dam, and a storm came up that I could not literally see 2 foot in front of me. Now, I'm serious. I could barely see. It was that bad. I had my windshield wipers on complete. I have a new Dodge truck, and they were just throwing that water everywhere, and I could barely see where I was going. It was that bad of a storm. Now you just imagine what the disciples saw as they were in that little boat with Jesus Christ. Now it didn't have twin Mercs on it. It didn't have all this electronics and the hood over it and all that. It was just a boat, just an open boat. And here they were out on the sea, and this great storm came to where they couldn't see anything hardly. And as I was driving across the top of that dam, I thought I saw movement. I thought I saw something. And I thought, well, I better slow down, because what I was doing was going over to the gatehouse. And I thought, I better slow this truck down. And so I did, and the Lord told me to do that. I slowed it down, and sure enough, I did see something. There was a young man that came off the lakeside of that dam in front of my truck. And had I not slowed down, I would have hit him. Now, I want to tell you, if you have an accident with the government, you won't believe what they put us through. I mean, I had a little $250 accident, and they sent it all the way to the general. I mean, I had to write him a note why I had that little accident. If I'd have hit that man, it'd have been a disaster. I'd have probably killed him, and it'd just been awful. But for some reason, I heard a voice said, "You better slow down. Really slow." So I slowed down, and here he came right in the front of me. And I stopped the truck, and I could barely get the door open. And we were both drenched. And I told him, I said, "Now, I'm not supposed to do this, but I would say this is probably a rescue operation. I said, I want you to get over here and get in this truck." And so I got the door open and got him in the truck, and I took him down to the end of the dam, and all the time I was just going like this, What are you doing out here? Why were you down there? I was upset. I was mad. I was mad as I could be. What was he doing on the side of that dam in this terrible storm? What were you doing? He said, well, I went down there fishing and I was catching fish and I just sort of let it get away with me and this storm come along and I thought I could make it. And I said, well, you didn't make it, did you? And I got him in the truck and we went down to the end of the dam there and I got him to his truck and the battery was dead in his truck. I said, I have got to go do my duty. As soon as I can, I will come back and I will get you. I want you to sit here and don't you move. Don't you do anything. Don't you dare get out of this truck. You wait on me until I get back. So I went down and it took me 30 minutes to get my duties done. And I finally came back down there to him and he said, I didn't think he was going to come back. I said, well, I told you I would. I came back. I said, just don't, please don't do this again. I tell you that story. This was the condition that the disciples were in. It was a horrible storm. It was so bad. These were seasoned men of the sea, and it frightened them so bad they were in fear of their lives. And I want to ask you, has there been a time in your life when you went through a storm like that? Maybe it was a job. Maybe it was some kind of disease. Maybe it was a loss of loved one. All kinds of storms come through our lives. And I want to propose to you today that we lock, stock, and barrel, put everything we can get in our lives in the boat that Jesus is driving. Does that make sense to you? That we give Him everything. Over and over I have talked to people about situations in life and I've always said all I know to do, I'll do what I can, but all I know to do is that you put this in Jesus' hands. Whatever it is in your life, I suggest and propose that you can put it in the hands of Christ. It seems like to me, and I'm one to run my mouth about the news, okay? I'm sorry, I do. But it seems like to me that we do everything we can and then finally we decide to ask Jesus about it. Finally we decide to ask God. And so seven reasons we get in the boat with Jesus Christ. Number one, we're living in an evil world, aren't we? I just can't imagine why somebody would take a gun and walk down the hallway of a school shooting people. I can't imagine that. It's beyond my imagination that a person could go that far into sin. We're living all over this world. We're seeing evilness throughout the world today. And I think the disciples, I read to you over in Genesis, and let me read this to you real quick one more time. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. Remember we talked about Noah and the ark. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. I think the disciples got in the boat with Jesus because they saw the evilness of the world of that day. They remembered the time when Jesus was born is a sweet little innocent baby in the manger. And there was a king there so evil, so jealous, so full of self-pride that he literally went about the community of that day murdering little babies. And I suggest to you today, is that not true of America today? I don't know where you stand on abortion. I think I do. But I know this, that millions and millions of little babies have been murdered. Millions and millions. No telling what doctor, what scientist, what inventor, what person of greatness that we have seen murdered in the womb. And I think that they got in that boat with Jesus Christ because of the evilness of that day. They saw a light of hope in Jesus Christ. They saw righteousness and goodness in Him. They saw someone who would make a difference in their lives, and they got in that boat with Him because of the evilness of that day. Now, I don't mean that they just thought, well, it's evil out here, we're going to get in the boat. But they were following Jesus because they wanted some answers. And I tell you, the only answer I know to all of this is Jesus Christ and Him alone. He said, love God with all your heart and love thy neighbor as thyself. Can you imagine what it would be like in the world today if we all loved our neighbors as ourselves? You wouldn't have to have any locks. You wouldn't have to worry about your credit card. You wouldn't have to worry about someone stealing your identity. You wouldn't have to worry about any of this if we followed Jesus Christ. I think of another day that some people got in a boat because of the evilness of that day. It was called the Mayflower. You remember that story in history? They were over in England, and there was tyranny. There was a system where a few had the wealth and everybody else was poor and broken down. It was a society where they could not practice their faith and religion. And so a group of people got together and they bought this little boat called the Mayflower, and they got in it and they were going to a land that they hoped they could go to where things would be better. That they could worship God in freedom. They could worship Christ in freedom. And so they came to America across the sea and landed over at Plymouth Rock and had all kinds of storms and tragedies. But they persevered and they started the great country called the United States of America. They got in the boat with Jesus. I'm saying to you this morning, I know the world's evil. I don't understand all of it. I can't answer that. But I can tell you this. I know a man. I know a Savior. I know a person, Jesus Christ, that someday is going to come, and He's going to come for those who love Him and rapture us away. And then one day He's going to bring His army back and He's going to take care of all this evilness that we see around the world. And so I invite you that you would think what you're doing here in this little building sitting on this hill is one of the most important things that can be done, that we're living in an age of evilness, and that if we bring people in and teach them the way of Jesus, that is the answer. That's it. That's the answer. So I think they got in boat with Him because of that, and I get in the boat with Him. I don't like all this evilness. I don't like it. It hurts my heart. It grieved me what I heard this week. It brought me to tears in my heart of what I heard this week. And I know that Jesus is the answer. And then number two, I think they got in that boat because of their own wrong deeds. I think we get in that boat because of our own wrong deeds. We think about things that we've done that we know we should not have done. We know that. There's none righteous, no, not one. I wouldn't dare talk about you. I wouldn't dare run you down for what you've done wrong. Because you know why? I've done too much wrong myself. And I think they got in that boat because they knew that they had done some things they shouldn't have done, and they knew that there were many things they should have been doing that they weren't doing, and they needed to correct that. And the only way I know to do that is get in the boat with Jesus Christ. That's the only way I know to do it. I believe you, me, I have tried to get things out of my life before on my own, and it didn't work. But the moment I got on my knees and began to beg God about this, I don't care what it is, I don't care the circumstance, He has the power to get things out of our lives that should not be there, and they knew this, and you know it, and I know it. We know this. We need Jesus. We need to be in this boat with Him. I think about the Apostle Peter. Now, he didn't know he was going to do this, but later on, he denied Jesus Christ three times there at the cross of Calvary. And it says in the Scripture that he walked away in bitter tears. And Jesus said, I prayed for you. I have prayed for you. And listen, friends, now, I want you to see the answer here, okay? It wasn't too long till Jesus knew, I mean that Peter knew that Jesus had forgiven him, and that Jesus used the Apostle Peter to stand before thousands, and he got up in a church that had lost their treasure. He had committed suicide. They were downbeaten. They were torn all apart. And if you think things get bad sometimes here in churches, go back and read over and over how that Jesus Christ brought them through to victory. Your victory is in Jesus here. That's where it's at. And so the Apostle Peter had denied him three times and went away weeping bitterly, and Jesus forgave him of it. And it wasn't too long that he stood up and the Holy Spirit fell on and thousands were saved. Thousands were saved. So I think we need to, and we do, the reason you're here today with me and the reason I'm here with you is that we have wrong deeds that we need forgiven, and Jesus can do that, and He's our Savior, and so that's why we're in this boat today. Someone said that a church is basically made up of sick people who have sinned and fallen short, and that they found Jesus and He has healed them, and He has turned things around for them, and He's worked in their lives, and He has made the difference. So we're here that Jesus might be our salvation. And then the third thing, I think they got in that boat because of the righteousness of Jesus. Why would you ever, ever use the name of Jesus except in complete honor and glory of who He really is? That He went about healing the sick. He raised the dead. He made all kinds of provisions for people. He fed the poor. And then He died on the cross to save us from our sins. And I think they were there because of the goodness and the mercy and the compassion of Jesus Christ. I point out to you, and I don't mean this. Now listen, I don't want to any way be running anybody down from the pulpit, okay? I just want to make a point. How many hospitals do you see around, all around us? You see Baptist Hospital, you see Methodist Hospital, you see St. Francis, you see all these works of benevolence. Have you noticed when a place has a disaster somewhere, who is it that goes in first? Who is it? Well, most times it's the Christians. If they can get there, they go there in the honor of Christ, and they take food and they take people and they do all they can to help. It's the United States of America that is usually there first. and that we do all we can in areas of disasters. Why is that? Because we share the belief and we share the faith and we share the knowledge of a Savior who was filled with goodness and mercy and compassion. No matter who the people were, no matter their circumstance, there was Jesus and He was there for them. So I think we are in this boat because of the righteousness and goodness of Jesus Christ. Number four, I think they were in that boat because of their needs and our needs. You see, all of us have needs. When you think about dealing with somebody in your acquaintance, I want you to always think about this, and I have to make myself do this. But they have the very same needs and desires that you've got. Everybody has the same needs. Look, we need to have a place to live. We need to have food. We need to have warmth. We need to have friendship and fellowship. You know what I remember most in my life in high school? I want to tell you this little incident. My dad had died, and I was devastated. I was in the 10th grade, and my dad passed away suddenly of a heart attack. And it just really did get to me. It just tore our family all up. It was really hard to go through, because it was a surprise. This little family you're praying for, do everything you can for them because they're hurting. This was a surprise to them. And I remember when Dad died, how devastated Mother was, and my brother and all of us were devastated. Even the whole community got to where they loved old Hank and thought a lot of him, and it hurt them. They were all upset about it. And I remember that Mother was so sick that I had to go down at 7 o'clock in the morning and open our little business. I was in the 10th grade. And I'd go down and open our little business and get it going. And then I'd go to school, and then I'd come home after work, and I would close the business down, lock it up, and go home. I'd come in after school and then work there until closing time, which was 6 o'clock. And I remember I was there one morning at 7 o'clock in the morning before school, and I was really hurting, okay? I was sad. I remember one of my teachers, his name was Doc Edwards. We called him Doc because he was agri teacher, and he knew everything about taking care of animals. He knew everything about woodworks, and he wasn't a doctor, but we called him Doc Edwards. And I remember one morning that he came by the laundry and he brought some clothes there to be cleaned. And he didn't usually do that. He didn't come by there, but he came by that morning, and he asked me how I was doing and was kind to me. And I can remember the conversation we had was, let's see, how many years ago was it? Let's say 50 years ago. 55, 56. But I can remember that conversation like it was yesterday. Why can I remember that? Why is it that I can remember that and I can't remember hardly anything else back then, but I can remember him standing there looking at me with his consoling me and being a friend to me when I was down and out. And listen, friends, everybody needs to know you love them regardless of what. And all, forgive me. For the times I haven't made that clear to my family and friends, those that I love them and I have compassion for them. And you see, we need compassion. And Jesus Christ is the very antithesis of compassion for you. When nobody else loves you and nobody else cares and you think it's all over with, there's Jesus Christ. There he is. And we studied in Revelation this morning that the Apostle John, when he saw Jesus, he fell down as dead before him. It was so overwhelming that he fell down as dead before Jesus Christ. And it says that Jesus reached down with his right hand and touched him and said, "Fear not." And that's what he says to us. I think they got in this boat because they knew that's the way Jesus was, and they knew that they could depend on him, and they knew that he had compassion for them. And then I think they got in that boat because of the storms of life. Friends, all of us have storms. We all have difficulties. We all have misunderstandings. We have circumstances. All of us face illness. One of the days I will face an illness that I will not recover from. And there will be nothing that you can do for me. Nothing that anybody can do for me. I will face that sometime. I remember my dear mother who passed on at the age of 93 years old. And what happened to her is that at the nursing home, she stood up and she lost her balance and she fell over and hit her head. And I remember being with her there at the hospital, and it had impacted her so bad that she could not drink water because it would cause her to drown. And I remembered how awful that circumstance was. And the only hope in that storm that I had, that raging storm of death facing my family, the only hope that I had is I knew that she loved Jesus Christ. And there was nothing I could do for her, but I know when she passed on that her soul went up into heaven and went there to be with Christ. And I think they got in that boat because of the storms of life. They knew that Jesus was capable, and he proved himself so. They didn't realize he was that capable because they said, "What is this man that he can speak and even the clouds and the storms and the elements of earth literally cease at his voice?" That's who we serve. And I think that's why we're in this boat today. I think that's why you're here in this church. Just think about this, a big old boat, and we're here floating across the sea of life, and we're here because of the storms of life, and we know that Jesus is capable. And we can give it all to him. No matter what we've done or haven't done, he is capable. He is our Savior. And then I think they got in that boat because they were disheartened about the lost and dying all around us. You know, the news this week about this young man, I tell you what really hurts me the most. Apparently he was a foster child, I guess I'm getting this right, and that a little couple adopted him. And it says they gave their life to him. I don't know the circumstance. I don't know all about it, but I know that the mother, the dad had died, and that the mother spent her life seeing after him, and that the police had been called 39 times because that mother felt threatened by this young man. Now, why they didn't cart him off to incarceration, I don't know. I mean, looks like to me 10 times would have been enough, but 39 times, the woman needed some help. The young man needed something done. Something was wrong. But I think the disciples and you and me are in this boat because of a lost and dying world without Jesus Christ. I don't know of any other faith or religion in the world that solves the issue of the lost and dying like Jesus Christ. There is none other. None other on earth. that Jesus would come and live a perfect life and die for us on the cross of Calvary, and that we're in this boat today because we starve to see someone else to come to salvation and know Him and go into that baptism and be baptized. And I think those disciples got in that boat with Him hoping that some way, somehow, that they could make an impact on their family and their friends and their world around them, that Jesus was the answer, and they were going to float with Him, hoping that He would bring salvation to that day. And He did. And He did. And we get in that boat because we starved to see the lost and dying come to know Him. And then the last reason, and I'll let you go. I don't want to keep you too long. But let me just say, the last reason that we get in that boat, I know there's many other reasons, but the last reason that I have down here is the redemption of Christ. Please, my friends, please, and I have done this. I'm sorry I've done it. I've forgotten what this is all about. At times in my life, I've forgotten what it's all about. It is that God, through Jesus Christ, wishes to redeem the world. And no matter who you meet, no matter what circumstance you find yourself in, what relationship, remember this one thing, that Jesus is in the redemption business. That's why we're here in this boat today. He redeems us. He redeems our friends. He redeems our nation. He will redeem the world, the Redeemer Jesus Christ. And I say to you, when you get into this boat, and I'll quit here. I didn't mean to go quite this long, but anyway, I'll quit here. When you get in this boat, listen to this. They put themselves in the boat with Jesus. When you get in this boat, put yourself in there completely. Put yourself in the boat with Jesus. They put their souls in the hand of Christ. They put eternity in the hand of Christ. They put their salvation in the hands of Christ. They put their hang-ups. Have you got hang-ups? Oh, I do. I guess you don't. I do. I've got hang-ups. I'm sorry I got them, but I know I've got them. But the only way I know to deal with them is I put my hang-ups in the boat with Jesus Christ. I put my physical body in the boat with Jesus Christ. This is His temple. This is His body. It doesn't belong to me. I get in that boat with Him. When I don't, it's when I make error. When I don't, it's when I make mistakes. But when I do, I put my body in that boat with Jesus Christ. Put your jobs in the boat with Jesus Christ. You got trouble on your jobs? Put your job in there. Put your business. Are you trying to raise a family? Who knows how to raise a family? We do the best we can. We do everything we know to try to raise our family and do right. And I still make mistakes. I still fail. And there's still some things that they don't like about me, and I don't blame them, okay? But I know this. I did put my family in the boat with Jesus. Put your family in the boat with Jesus. We talk about citizenship, America. I don't know where we're going. I don't know. Jody and I talk on the phone about that all the time, about where America's going. But I do know this. We can put America in the boat with Christ. We can do that. They might not do it, but we can do that. Put your status, whatever your status is. Whatever it is in life. Maybe you're rich, maybe you're poor. Maybe you're right in the middle. Maybe you have, maybe you don't have. Put that in the boat with Jesus Christ. Our needs and problems of the day. Start the day out with Jesus. Put them in the boat with Jesus. Our future. What is your future? I was telling Carolyn about a man that I knew of. I didn't know him real well, but I knew of him. He started a trucking company over in Harrison, Arkansas. And it got to be a regional power. I mean, it was really doing good. All he did was He put good people in charge, got good drivers, and he just duplicated that all over the nation. And a little company or a big company called FedEx, Jody, you know about FedEx? FedEx came along and bought him out because they wanted to get in the freight business. And they gave him $1 billion. $1 billion. And not too long after that, he was at his mansion complex there. I don't know where it was exactly. But he had this big mansion and all. You know, he was a wealthy man. And he ended up out on his own personal lake in his boat. And somehow or another, we don't know what happened, he ended up at the bottom of that lake dead. Billionaire. I think about one of the Walton sons who was worth $13 billion. Then he would be worth, no telling how many, $100 billion now. Walmart's gotten so big. But he went up one day in a airplane he had built and took off, and something went wrong. He crashed dead. John Denver, one of the heroes of the day that I grew up, sung all those folk songs. We all loved to listen to him. He built a plane one day and had everything, and went up in that plane and crashed in the sea and dead. What I'm saying is we don't know what the future holds, but I do know this. You can put it in the boat with Jesus Christ. You can put it in that boat, and it's all going to be okay. Now, where the rub comes, where I would fear, is if I didn't have my future in the boat with Jesus. What do these people do who deny Him and won't put their future in the hands of Jesus? Put your faith, your lack of faith, whatever faith that you can drum up, whatever lack of faith you have, Lord, I don't have the faith I need. Beg Him to give you the faith you need, and He'll give it to you. Put it in the boat with Jesus. Put your personal possessions in the boat with Jesus. I remember when Carol and I were going to a little church. I was going to college for the second time, and I'll tell this story, and then I'll end. But I was going to the college for the second time. The pastor got up and challenged us that the church needed money and they were really doing good. But he challenged us. The budget was just, you know, really down. And he said, if you've got some extra money in the bank, said, if you feel the Lord leading, if you would help us out. Well, Carol and I talked it over. And we had $2,000 in the bank. Now, that's all we had, $2,000. And I said, you know, Carolyn, I've been wanting to do this. And I said, do you want to do that? Let's just give it to the Lord and see what He does. We wasn't trying to get Him to do anything. This is a true story. And so we gave that $2,000 offering, and the pastor came by our house and called on us and said, you sure you want to do this? We pretty well know that's all the money you got. You sure you want to do it? And I said, we do. We talked it over. We prayed about it, and we want to do it. Well, Jody and Donnie loved riding around in a little yellow love truck. I don't know if Jody remembers that, but Carolyn said that they loved it because it'd drive down the road, and it'd just bounce up and down, and they'd just laugh and carry on, make fun of it. It was nearly new. It's a nice little truck. And of course, at that time, we had a gasoline crisis, if you can imagine that. And I said, Carolyn, since I put that money in there, we got this other car, and I'm going to have to sell that truck. And Jody and Donnie threw a fit. I don't know if they remember that or not, but they didn't like it. But I took it down to a car dealer, and I had paid $3,000. I forget what it was. I think I'd paid like $3,000, which, and I was making payments on it. And I took it down to that car dealer, and he said, yeah, I'll buy that from you. He said, and we just about had it paid off. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you $5,500 for it. I said, what? Are you sick? $5,500? He said, yeah. He said, I'll give you $5,500. Well, that meant that we'd get $2,500, and we just about had it paid off, and we got the rest of that money. So we had about, I forget what it was, $4,000 or $5,000 out of that truck. And I said, what are you going to do with this truck? He said, well, it's like this. I can't find these anywhere. And we're in this gas crisis. And he said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put it out here on the corner and clean it up real good and put it for sale. And I'm not going to sell it, he said. I just want them to come by here and try to buy it from me, and then I'm going to sell them something else. Does that sound familiar? Car dealers do that all the time. But I tell you that because you can put your possessions in the boat with Jesus. You don't. I'm not asking you to give some big offering. I'm asking you, or saying to you, that you can give to God and He will give you, pressed down over and over, that much back and more. He will give to you. So I end this sermon today. You all probably say, wow, he's going to end. Finally. I end this today. I don't know if this helped you much, but it helped me. I needed to prepare this for you, so thank you for preaching to me, okay? I appreciate it. I needed it. But put yourself in the boat with Jesus. Is there anything you need right now? Well, He's capable. You stand with me, please. Brother, what are we going to sing? Now, invitation is a time for you. You don't have to come down here if you don't want to. But it's a time for you to put yourself personally, after we've read the scriptures, for you to personally get with Jesus Christ. And what are we going to sing? Okay. Just before we sing, I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. And I'm going to pray this too. You pray in your heart with me. Lord, forgive me that I haven't put all of me in that boat with you. And I just pray, there's so many things out of our hands, but I know whatever we put in your boat, that you can take care of it. I don't mean it'll be like we think it should be. I mean you will take care of it. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd help all of us. Help me, help them. To start our day, to start our week, start our rest of our lives, putting all of us in your boat, Jesus, because you're worthy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.